¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
For all on a go status, ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, soccer fans, Matt Peterson in for Glenn. Glenn traveling back from the SEC Women's Soccer Tournament. He'll be back Friday night for a special edition of Soccer Matters, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. Our producer is Tyler Scott. A lot to talk about this week. Champions League, wonderful games yesterday and today. MLS Cup playoffs last weekend. Every home team won. We'll see how the home teams do this weekend. Or as many as 4 higher-seeded teams could be knocked out. What is on your soccer mind? A big game going on in Mexico tonight, the Copa MX final. We'll talk with Juan Padilla in a few minutes about a big game coming to Houston in just a few weeks. Pumas and Cruz Azul. Did you watch the Barcelona-Manchester City game yesterday? I was able to watch it. Wonderful game. I tend to like Barcelona, but that was a wonderful display for Manchester City. The second half was sensational. Kevin De Bruyne, I thought, was the best player on the field, and a deserved win for Manchester City. And we'll see how they do the rest of this tournament, but they have to have tons of confidence after that big win against Barcelona at home. 713-780-8776. A lot going on with the show tonight, so we'll lay it out, and then we'll hopefully take some calls from you. Juan Padilla will join me in just a couple minutes talking Liga MX, Cruz Azul and Pumas, and more. Kalia Ojai spoke with Glenn Davis last week. We're going to air that interview tonight. Ojai, of course, 10 goals with a Houston Dash, tied for the league lead. She also scored within a minute of her U.S. Women's National Team debut against Switzerland last weekend. She talked with Glenn about that call-up and joining the national team, the senior national team, for the first time. Me and Glenn will do a few segments together talking all things Dynamo, his experience in Montreal, watching Montreal beat the New York Red Bulls last weekend and more. And then we'll re-air an interview I did for the Houston Dynamo website with Wilmer Cabrera, the new Houston Dynamo head coach. 4th head coach in team history announced on Friday. Good interview with him. Talks a lot about his background and how he wants to go forward with the Dynamo. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I tell you, we watched the Barcelona game yesterday. They took a 1-0 lead. Wonderful goal with Neymar so composed on his pass to Lionel Messi. And let's go ahead and bring in Juan Padilla. Juan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. Happy to talk about soccer here with you, sharing this moment with all the people that hear your radio program. Yeah, I mean, I think Pep Guardiola did a great job yesterday. Barcelona, I mean, it's a team that plays very complex. They play in a reduced space, and I think Pep Guardiola knows these guys very well. So he put a very good strategy to put the midfield very compact, and I think he won. From the bench, he won the strategy.
Well, after it went 1-0, I thought more of the same, but Manchester City had a counterpunch. We'll get more into that game. 713-780-3776. Before we get more into that game and more with Juan, let's take you through some of the scores from the Champions League today. A wild one in Poland, Warsaw 3, Real Madrid 3. They had to come from behind with a late goal as Kovacic scored. That made it 3-3. Leicester City, another shutout. They're the first team in Champions League history to get a clean sheet in their first four games. They got a 0-0 draw at Copenhagen. Tottenham's in a rough spot. They lost at Wembley today, 1-0. Bayer Leverkusen scored. So disappointing for Tottenham. Juventus 1, Lyon 1, Monaco 3, CSK Moscow 0, Sevilla 4, Dynamo Zagreb 0. Some great goals from Sevilla in that game. Porto 1, Club Brugge 0. So here's the teams that have advanced to the round of 16 in the Champions League. Arsenal, Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain. Dortmund is through. They got another win today. And U.S. men's national team midfielder Christian Pulisic, he played 90 minutes, was a part of the build-up to the first goal, hit the crossbar later. Wonderful performance from him. So just looking at it group by group, Benfica's in good position to qualify. They can qualify with the win at Besiktas in the next rounds. Napoli is also in position, Besiktas sitting third. Group C, Barcelona, Manchester City, both in very good position. Borussia Mönchengladbach, line in the weeds just a little bit. Atletico and Bayern Munich are through in Group D. Group E, Monaco and Bayer Leverkusen in very good shape. Tottenham has some work to do. They have to win both their last two fixtures to guarantee their place. So some work ahead for Spurs. Borussia Dortmund is in. Real Madrid needs one more point. Group G, Leicester City needs one more point from their final two games. Porto and Copenhagen fighting for that second spot in Group G. Group H, Sevilla needs one more point. Juventus is through with the win at Sevilla, so they're in good shape as well. Lyon still work to do. So a lot going on in the Champions League. Europa League starts tomorrow with some more group stage games. Man United is in action. Let's go back to Juan Padilla. Just your thoughts on any of the games the last couple of days. I think Man City 3, Barcelona 1 was the headliner.
Oh, yeah, of course. And you were mentioning now the teams that are advancing. I think it's not a surprise for anyone. Do you think we have a team that surprised us in these first rounds of the Champions League? I think no. I think it's the team that we expected, right?
Yeah, I think it's interesting with Leicester City struggling in the Champions League. They're sort of pulling a Liverpool from a few years ago when they struggled in the EPL, but they do well in the Champions
Correct.
League. They haven't allowed a goal. Four games in, they're maybe building some momentum from that, but that might be the only surprise if they've struggled in the league, but they've done so well in the Champions League.
And I think Manchester City and Barcelona, they can meet in semifinals or something. Oh, that would be amazing to see those guys again playing each other. I think Luis Enrique yesterday, you can see in his face when the game was over, he approached to Pep and his face said everything like, you beat me. I mean, he understands perfectly how to play Barcelona. And I would love to see those guys again in the semifinals.
A word here for the Kings Court Pub. It's in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. An amazing beer and cocktail selection. Plus, the Kings Court is a great spot for watching all your favorite soccer teams. The Kings Court also has a unique blend of British and Indian pub food. Check out the amazing rooftop deck and say hello to Jay at the Kings Court. The Kings Court, a soccer matters pub. I'm joined by Juan Padilla. We're talking all things Champions League and more. And still to come on the show, pre-recorded interview with Kalia Ojai from the Houston Dash with Glenn. I did a few segments with Glenn. That will play as well. And then my interview with new Dynamo head coach Wilmer Cabrera. Juan, what's your thoughts on that? Wilmer Cabrera, first Latin American head coach in Dynamo history. You obviously know that segment of Houston well. What do you think about the selection and how is that playing in the community?
Well, I have the opportunity to be in the press conference where the Dynamo introduced Wilmer. I know Wilmer from his work in other teams. I think it's a great decision. Actually, in the past, I was surprised that there was no people involved in the Hispanic community. So bringing a coach that knows how to play in the South America soccer, he knows Mexican teams as well, I think it's great for everyone. As you were mentioning, I bring a lot of teams from Mexico. I normally doing 3 to 4 games. All of my games are with Mexican teams. So we put together around 12 to 15,000 people every time we bring a team or a game from Mexico. And always when I go to a Dynamo game, I see a lot of American people, you know. So I'm asking myself the same question. When is the Hispanic community going to be involved in this type of games? If we can get involved, all the Mexican fans from different teams, and I can tell you because I know what I'm saying, Tigres, it's a huge team in Mexico, in the north part, Monterrey. They have a lot of fans here. Monterrey, Cruz Azul, America, and Chivas. Why not talk to these guys, bring them together, and create like a fan support group for the Dynamo? That would be amazing. And I think this is a huge step for the Dynamo soccer and for the Houston soccer.
Well, I think Monterrey is the soccer capital of North America right now. The two highest attended teams in Mexico are Rayados and Tigres. They're two of the biggest spending teams. That rivalry is amazing. I think people just look at Guadalajara and Mexico City. Correct. But I think the hardcore place, the purest soccer city right now, is Monterrey.
Well, Tigres is doing amazing, Monterrey as well. And as you mentioned, I mean, Chivas and America, traditionally, those are the biggest teams in Mexico. But you cannot forget Cruz Azul. I just brought Cruz Azul last summer, and we're bringing them again in two more weeks. And they put together 9,000 people only for Cruz Azul. And Cruz Azul is not doing that very well in the league. So imagine if Cruz Azul was doing great. Again, I think Wilmer have to get involved with the Hispanic community, not only the Mexican. Bring a lot of Colombian people, people from Panama, from El Salvador. And I think the Dynamo will be surprised how good this can come to the stadium.
All right, so we're talking with Juan Padilla. He's a promoter, brings some of the biggest clubs in Mexico to BBVA Compass Stadium. He's doing it November 13th. It's a FIFA weekend as Cruz Azul will host Pumas. It's a Mexico City Clásico. Talk about how you get one of these events off the ground, because I think not many people know how does it work.
It's a lot of work, Matt. I mean, you have to start, obviously, with the city, with the stadium that you choose. I base my game in Texas, so I have done 8 games here in Houston, 2 in Dallas, 1 in San Antonio, but my favorite city is Houston. I think the city of Houston always reacts to a good soccer, and the soccer fans are amazing. So when you have the stadium already booked, now you have to start thinking on the teams. In my business model, I was based only in 7 teams to do the mix, and the teams that I always going to be bringing is America, Chivas, Cruz Azul, Pumas, Tigres, Monterrey, and Rayados. And actually, this year, we have bring five games here to the city. Cruz Azul and Pumas, it's a Clásico in Mexico City. Every time these two teams played over there, it's a sold out. So I hope the people here realize that both teams are coming with 95% of the starters. Why is that? Cruz Azul is only putting 2 players in national teams. One is the goalie, Jesus Corona, goes to the Mexican national team that is going to be facing United States. I would love to talk to you about that game in November 11. Pumas, they don't have one single player in national teams. So both teams have a lot of South American players and Central American players. And you will have here in the city, Pumas is training on Friday from 1 p.m. to 2:30 in the Houston Sports Park, open practice to the people. Saturday, November 12th, both teams are practicing over there. Pumas is going to do it in the morning from 10 a.m. to 11:30, and then Cruz Azul for 1 to 2:30. So people, if you like soccer, you love soccer, you are more than welcome to come and see practice, 2 professional teams, first division teams with all the stars. And then obviously invite everyone on Sunday, November 13th, to the game. It's going to start at 4 p.m., but we will have a fan fest, a previa concert. We will have a stage, a huge stage with all our sponsors over there. That's going to start at 1 p.m., and then at 4, we have the huge game. And let me remind to the people that we have a promotion. Kids under 10 and under is going to be free access on general admission.
So Juan Padilla is my guest. Pumas versus Cruz Azul. It's a friendly at BBVA Compass Stadium. Tickets available at Taqueria Arandas and AXS.com. Let's jump to the phone lines. Again, you can call in 713-780-3776. Let's go to Stacy. Stacy, you're on Soccer Matters.
Hello, who am I speaking with?
This is Matt Peterson and Juan Padilla, and I'm stepping in for Glenn tonight.
Okay, all right. So Wilmer Cabrera, is he going to be on tonight?
Wilmer is going to be on. It's going to be it's an interview I've already done for the Houston Dynamo website. Okay. It's a 18-minute interview. We talk a lot about his background, so he won't be able to answer your question, but maybe you can improvise and ask another question for Juan or myself.
Well, okay, if Wilmer was on the line or in studio and I was able to ask the question, I would welcome him if he was here, because I think, I'm interested in seeing, what he can do. I watched quite a few of the RGB games online. I liked the style of play. I liked the kind of players that he incorporated into his system. and I like watching his team. It was kind of unfortunate the last game they lost, but you know, I'm looking at it as a positive. I think it was the right thing to, you know, to go with somebody else. I think we need a different direction. I think this I'm willing to give Wilmer a try, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. The question that I would ask Wilmer would be, he has stated that he wants to play a 4-2-3-1. Now, the Dynamo played a 4-2-3-1 for the majority of this season, at least a lone striker, and they were not successful. They scored few goals, and they had few wins. And if we're going to play the same system of play, how is it going to be any different, and how will he change things, and why did things not work? And I would say part of the reason it didn't work was we don't have a four that can play our lone forward role that's suited to that. And I see Mauro Munotis has to be on the field, so I would favor more of a two-striker system. I don't know how else I don't know how he's going to play, but I'd like to hear, you know, what he would have to say is, how would things change in his 4-2-3-1 based on the way we've played this past season?
It's a good question, Stacey. And I think it came out, Corey Repkin tweeted that 4-2-3-1 would be his preferred formation. I think that's in a perfect world. Now, there's a few things at play here. Number one, Cruz Azul, which is coming to Houston November 13th, has Eric Kubo-Torres on loan. They can purchase him if they decide. If they don't, he'll be back. Will Bruin is under contract for next year. He could be back. Maybe he could get traded. A lot of things could happen. So there's three forwards you could argue all need to play. Maybe he would tweak his preferred style of play for one of them or two of them to get them on the field. The other thing I would say is how you play a 4-2-3-1, and Juan, you can agree with me or disagree, it depends on the coach and the tactics. I think it's the support.
And the time.
Yeah, and the time. It's the support from the wingers mostly. Right. That support. Will Bruin, one of his beefs this year, and Mauro maybe complained about this in some circles, was that they were alone in the box. You need the support from the wingers. You need the support from the central midfielders to join. And that's how, you know, Manchester City played a 4-2-3-1 yesterday.
Yeah.
And they had plenty of support from De Bruyne, from others, helping out Aguero. But I don't think he's wedded to that. And I think he would not have taken the job if he wasn't confident he could change the roster and have his style of play, because it didn't work at Chivas, and he knows what he's getting into with the Dynamo. So I think he's confident he's going to have a big say on the roster.
I'm agree with you 100%. I think he's jumping in right now. He needs to have some time with the players. He needs to put in the table the players that he would love to have in the team. 4-3-2-1, I love that lineup. I think it's a good one when you have time to work and you have the time to explain to the players what you're expecting from them to do. As you were mentioning yesterday, it was amazing how they show it. So, and actually in the press conference when Wilmer Cabrera was introduced, he explained kind of the way he wants to play, but he clarified that first of all, he need to see the human capital he's going to have. You know, so I think for our friend that was calling, I'm agree with him. It's a good question for him, and I'm pretty sure time will let us know how he wants to accomplish that.
Okay, quickly, Juan, two quick reads for me, and then we'll give you the final word on November 13th. Head over to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive in West U. It has that Irish pub feel, plus whiskey offerings and a great bar and cocktail selection. Say hello to Peter. Take in the best of soccer matches on the big screen. Lots of monitors for your viewing pleasure at the Gorgeous Gale. And the NCAA Men's College Cup is coming to Houston on December 9th through 11th at BBVA Compass Stadium. See the top NCAA college soccer teams compete for a national championship. It will be NCAA history with the NCAA College Cup. NCAA.com is where you get your tickets. And let's show the nation how Houston supports the college game. Final word on Pumas Cruz Azul and any quick prediction for USA-Mexico.
Well, first of all, invite to the people. Again, Cruz Azul and Pumas, believe me, guys, it's a great opportunity to see one of the biggest matches that is played in Mexico League. Both of the teams are coming with 95% of the players that we normally see on TV. So it's a great opportunity. It's a Sunday. It's a family day. We are helping the economy and the families with the promotion that we put together. It's kids 10 and under are free. So if you're a coach, if you're a parent, and you have your kids playing in different clubs around the city, try to invite all the kids, because not all the kids, Matt, have the opportunity to be in a stadium, you know, and this opportunity having having free access, if you're 10 and under, is great. And you're going to be seeing a lot of players that represent or have represented national teams before. So we invite everyone. And again, the tickets we have to go on sale on Michoacanas, Taquerias Arandas, Access.com, and the box office of the stadium.
Juan Padilla, thank you. We'll take a break. When we come back, Kaylee Ojai with Glenn Davis. This is Soccer Matters.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Matt Peterson in for Glenn Davis. Don't forget, Friday night, special edition Soccer Matters, 7 to 9. Glenn will be back. And don't forget, Pumas Cruz Azul, a Mexico City Clásico, will be at BBVA Compass Stadium November 13th. Kickoff at 4 p.m. Tickets are available at Taqueria Arandas and AXS.com. Also, before or after that game, head down to King's Court in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. The King's Court has an amazing beer and cocktail selection, plus the King's Court is a great spot for watching all your favorite soccer teams. The King's Court also has an amazing, unique blend of British and Italian pub food. Check out the amazing rooftop deck and say hello to Jay at the King's Court. The King's Court, a Soccer Matters pub. Well, last week, Glenn caught up with Kaylee Ojai. She led the Dash with 10 goals last season and also made her national team debut in Minnesota and set a record scoring inside her first minute. Here is Glenn with Kaylee Ojai.
All right, we roll on. We've got a great show here tonight, and I'll tell you, it's the guest list, the hits just keep coming. The guests are awesome tonight. Before we get to Kaylee Ojai, let me just tell you a couple things. NCAA Men's College Cup is here December 9th. That's the semis. The final's on the 11th. This is in Houston. We don't know who the teams are yet, but this is playing for a national title. Tickets are at NCAA.com. I would urge us in the community. This is an opportunity for us to put some fans in BBVA Compass Stadium, because the last two men's college cups, without, honestly, there was nobody there. And we can make a statement here in Houston. So, you know, there's Dynamo players that have won college cups. Rob Lovejoy, Callie Brown did it with UNC and Virginia. Let's get out to BBVA Compass Stadium. NCAA.com is where you get your tickets. Let's get after this, and let's get some people in there December, because I think it an empty stadium on national TV doesn't do a lot for Houston, and this has to happen organically. So it's really got to be up to you to get involved with it, because there's not a lot of marketing dollars behind this, and we're trying to spread the word. NCAA.com for your tickets. And then a quick reminder here about Bud Light. I always speak on behalf of Bud Light. The Bud Light Party. People say the country is divided. We disagree on everything. It's not true. We agree on a lot. Like puppy videos. Puppy videos. Three-day weekends. Free parking. Queso. Margaritas. Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. You know what everybody else loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light Party and myself every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. All right. Perfect intro now. Kaylee Ojai had the wonderful finish. 11 goals tied at the top of the league. At the end of the NWSL season, gets called in to the U.S. Women's National Team. And guess who joins us now? Kaylee Ojai. Kaylee?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on, Kaylee. And let's get right to it. First of all, you come in off the bench in Minnesota, 20,000-plus fans, and I think it's, 48 seconds in? It's less than a minute. I'm calling this game, and you come in this game and score literally on one of your first touches, taking a defender on. What was that moment like? Because I saw your face, the excitement, and it was just another meaningful piece in your soccer career.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was the best moment of my career so far, for sure. Yeah, and I knew I didn't have much time coming off the bench. I think there was like 10 minutes left in the game, and so I knew that with that time I had to make a statement, and for that to happen under a minute, it was incredible. It was a great pass by Kristen Press, and everything just worked out perfectly. And yeah, it was so far the coolest moment in my career.
And I love the way you kind of fended a defender off with your left hand to kind of create a shooting opportunity going to your right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of my – I usually play on the left. So, I mean, you've seen a lot of my games. That's the shot that I love that I can kind of cut inside and hit with my right. So the positioning and everything was just perfect. And, yeah, it was a perfect moment for me.
All right, so you've been in camp with the national team now, and this is something we know you've really desired this, and your play has warranted that from the NWSL. Kaylee Ojai joining us here on ESPN 97.5. So tell me about the camps, because, you know, I was at training on a Monday out in Salt Lake City, and it's highly competitive. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, definitely. It's so competitive. Every single training session, you're competing to play, and it's such a high level that mentally it's really taxing, and there's nothing like it. Even as far as the NWSL, you really can't prepare for that environment until you're there. So, yeah, at first it was an adjustment. The speed of play is so high. Everyone is so good. And so you really have to be switched on the entire time. And that was an adjustment. But I could feel throughout the week I was getting more and more used to that. And, I mean, it's a huge reason why they're the best team in the world is because their training sessions every single day, even if it's a light training session or, like you said, a training session right before a game, it's going to be intense. It might be short, but mentally you have to be switched on or you're not going to do well.
Yeah, and especially, like, you were amongst a lot of new faces that were brought in by Jill Ellis, which I thought was very, very refreshing. But talking about that speed of play and adjusting to all of that, it's very different what is expected out of you at that level than the way you play maybe at the Houston Dash, right? The style of play, yeah. The purpose of play?
Yeah, definitely. I think with all the new girls coming in, the biggest struggle, I think, is just keeping your confidence high, because you get in, you've been dreaming of this your entire career, and it's scary, and it's tough. You have to remember why you got there and what makes you special as a player. And the coaches throughout the week kept reminding us, you have to keep your confidence and you have to just remember who you are as a player. So that's a huge challenge, I think, going in. But all the veterans that were there were so awesome to us new girls, and they really helped us kind of just with, like, simple logistics, those types of things, but also on the field. They were really, really positive. And I remember with Kelly O'Hara, and she was such a fun, good roommate for me. She really made me feel comfortable. So we were lucky with the veterans that we had in camp because they were really helpful. But, yeah, definitely coming in as a new player, it was difficult. And it's difficult when you kind of don't feel like you know what you're doing or you don't know how everything goes. So it is an adjustment, and it takes some time to get used to that.
Kaylee Ojai joining us here on ESPN 97.5 at Soccer Matters. After you left that camp, you've digested all this. You've had an opportunity to process it as a player. Any elements of your game that in order for you to survive internationally that you've really got to think about in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I had a lot of really good conversations with Jill about moving forward. A big thing that she talked about is if I'm playing outside mid, which is what I would be playing with the national team, just getting more comfortable combining with the forwards and finding different ways to beat my defender, stuff like that. Also little things like unbalancing my defender when I'm beating them, just little things that you might not think about at the NWSL level, but if you want to play internationally, it's just little nuances that she wants me to add to my game. And just that conversation and getting me thinking about those things has already helped so much. And hopefully moving forward, if I get invited into the November camp, I can start working on those even more.
And that's a little different for you because normally, you know, look, you're against the last line of a defense. You're the person that final ball is being delivered to. And now in some ways, if you're playing as a midfielder, you're going to have to be a bit of a provider as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a little bit different just because I'm lower on the field. And so you are expected to score goals and create goals, but also be more of a playmaker. And so the biggest role model for me right now, just watching the national team, is probably Tobin, because I think she has found a way to be dangerous and she can beat people off the dribble, but she's also a great playmaker. So that's definitely who I watched throughout camp, and I watched a lot of film, and just trying to emulate that because I think she has that down perfectly.
Well, you know what? You had an outstanding NWSL season. It couldn't happen to a nicer person. And Just what an indelible moment that was for you to see your smile on your face and to produce that and see the reaction out of the fans and your teammates. I guess this is why we play the game, right?
Yeah, it really is. It was an awesome moment.
Okay, Leah, thank you very much. Best of luck with your national team future.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
All right, that was Glenn Davis talking with Houston Dash and U.S. national team forward Kalia Ojai from last week. All right, fans, read here for the Gorgeous Gale. Get over to the Gorgeous Gale at 5555 Morningside Drive in West U. The Gorgeous Gale has the Irish pub feel plus whiskey offerings and a great beer and cocktail selection. Say hello to Peter and take in the best of soccer matches on the big screens. Lots of monitors for your viewing pleasure at the Gorgeous Gale. The Gorgeous Gale for the Irish pub feel. And also, fans, don't forget Pumas vs. Cruz Azul, BBVA Compass Stadium, November 13th. Tickets available, Taqueria Aranda's and AXS.com. Plenty still to come here on Soccer Matters. Matt Peterson filling in for Glenn Davis. When we come back, we'll talk with Glenn. Three-part segment, getting a lot of his thoughts on the soccer world. Stay with us. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, back here on Soccer Matters, Matt Peterson filling in for Glenn. Now let's join Glenn Davis, who is in beautiful Orange Beach, Alabama, calling the SEC Women's Soccer Championship. Glenn, how's everything?
Everything's good. It's been fun down here. Obviously, this time of the year in college soccer is very exciting. And as you know, Matt, I made the run down from Montreal after the Impact's big 1-0 win over the New York Red Bulls up in Quebec.
Well, we'll get into the Champions League, some very exciting matches the last couple days, but let's start there in the MLS Cup playoffs. Four games on Sunday. You had the first one after Montreal went to D.C. and just hammered D.C. United. They led 4-0 at one point. They get the big goal in the second half from Mateo Mancuso. Very similar goal, I thought, to the one he scored against the Dynamo in a 1-0 Impact win in August. This has been a great signing for Montreal. Slight Serie A experience, but he has scored some big goals, and he's really displaced Didier Drogba. So take us through that game and the whole scene up at Stade Saputo.
Yeah, there's that whole storyline with Drogba not playing right now. He was in attendance at the game. We saw him. I saw him in training. But he's not playing. I think this was a real test, and these are the types of management decisions now in the playoffs that get totally magnified. You don't have the security of a bunch of other games in a whole season. And we're seeing coaches make decisions that are tough decisions that could change the course of your playoffs. And he's basically gotten his team playing for him. They're mostly more older, experienced veterans like Mancuso. And by the way, Mancuso debuted in the Italian Serie A as a 30-year-old. So there's some wonderful storylines. But Montreal was motivated. My partner on the broadcast, Alejandro Moreno, didn't think physically they were going to be able to handle the Red Bulls. And in the end, they actually did handle them and came out of there with a 1-0 win. So it sets up a very nice second leg at Red Bull Arena this coming Sunday.
Yeah, every team has sort of a game plan and sort of a belief. You know, Dallas favors younger players, but they do sprinkle in the veterans. I like the fact that in the East, New York City and Montreal isn't afraid to use older players such as Donadel, Patrice Bernier, Mancuso, Drogba when needed. And then they find the tactics that work. And if you looked on paper, Donadel, Bernier going up against Felipe and Dax McCarty in question, it was a total difference in athleticism and age, but the experience and tactical brain on the Montreal midfield was very good.
Yeah, throw in there Hernan Bernadello, who's in Montreal for the second time, and of course their center back, Laurent Simon, I just thought was a tower of power, absolutely tremendous. I think he's the kind of player the Dynamo got to find. The Dynamo have to find a domineering center back and then use one of the guys that I think are current now as a complementary back. They need a domineering guy. You see him around Major League Soccer. Yael Van Damme in L.A. Huge, huge personality, tower of power. Lawrence Simon, tower of power. I would even say Aurelien Collins for the Red Bulls has had a bit of a rebirth now after all those great years in Sporting. So, yeah, they found ways to do it. I'm not sure that's the blend that everybody would want over the course of a long MLS season, but for a short playoff setup, it could work. Look, they got 7 days to rest. It'll be 7 days by the time they take the field in New York. I'm still leaning on New York, though, getting it done at home. Best home record, goal-scoring machine in Bradley Wright Phillips, and, of course, a passing machine in Sasha Kljestan. So I think they'll get it done, but I don't think it'll come easy.
Well, of course, the road team won every – or the home team, I should say, won every game on Sunday. The higher-seeded team lost, and I think this has been a big – topic of debate. I've thought for the last couple of years that it's a huge disadvantage for the top seed to have to go on the road. You have to travel twice in a two-leg series, whereas the lower seed only has to travel once. They get to set the tempo of the series. They get the chance to grab the early lead. We'll get to that in a second, but maybe just the tactics, specifically New York City FC with Vieira going very defensive after coming out and play and pressing high like we saw in Houston a couple months ago, and then FC Dallas with Pareja deciding to go three at the back, a new system after winning the Supporters' Shield. Thoughts on those two teams changing their tactics and paying for it?
Yeah, let me do that. But before I do that, I just want to make one more statement about the Montreal game. How refreshing it was to see the New York Red Bulls come out and go after the game in leg one. It made for a very entertaining and exciting game. In an exciting European-type atmosphere up in Montreal. That's the way it is up there. So, you know, my hat's off to the Red Bulls for going after it on the road, much like they do at home. So back to your question about Oscar Pareja and Dallas. Yeah, they give up 3 goals in 8 minutes. Look, it was always going to be very difficult without Mauro Diaz. You already had extracted Fabian Castillo, who wanted to move on. So it was always going to be difficult. I'm a little surprised that they're not positioned in the second leg to in a little bit better way here. I mean, they're down 3 goals to Seattle. But, yeah, I think this is getting back to what I said. The decisions become magnified because there's an ending here. You don't have the fallback position of the league and where you sit in the table now. This is sort of do-or-die time. And, you know, if you're going to change the entire tactics of your team, if you're going to do things that are that drastic and such a large change for a group, there is a risk that comes with that. And you also have to wonder sometimes if managers overthink it. Look, Patrick Vieira has had a great season as a foreign manager in Major League Soccer. Oscar Pareja likely could be the coach of the year in the league. I mean, I don't think it should necessarily just go to the team that wins the MLS Cup. He's a brilliant manager. He could end up one day being the coach of the U.S. national team. Who knows? He gets whispered in that breath. But doesn't mean coaches don't make mistakes. And Pareja has made so many good decisions in the absences of stars that who knows? And then let's also give some credit to the Seattle Sounders in that case. And then Vieira at New York City FC, yeah, changing out the goalkeeper, a little bit bizarre to me. Villa comes off, who's your leader, and kind of guy that can pick a ball up and score a goal for you in a blink of an eye. So apparently there's some troubles up there. So, you know, these types of changes can institute reactions in locker rooms and can really stir the pot. So there are choices that have to be made very carefully, and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. But one thing we know for sure, there's a definitive ending in the playoffs.
What do you think about the way I started it with this disadvantage, I think, for the number one seed now? In Europe, it's traditional. The better team wants the second leg at home for all these reasons of extra time and penalties, but very few series go to extra time and penalties. And I just look the last couple of years, how many teams have gained the advantage hosting the first round, and we saw it with the Dynamo against the Red Bulls. The Red Bulls had absolutely hammered the Dynamo all year. They beat Montreal on a Wednesday night. They get to stay home, rest up. New York has to fly to Houston. They get the Omar Cummings goal, 2-2. They go back there, basically an even series. Do you like the fact that it's automatic, the higher seed has to go on the road first leg in the MLS Cup playoffs?
Well, having talked to a lot of coaches, let me first tell you what they say. Most of them are not making that big a deal out of it. I think what most say is that if you finish as a higher seed in your table, there should be a bigger reward somehow, and somehow that needs to be built in. And I think we know that MLS is distinctively two different seasons. And if you're out there saying that FC Dallas, since they won the Supporters Shield, is the best team in MLS, even after there's an MLS Cup winner awarded, you're not necessarily wrong. It just depends on your criteria. For me, I love the large body of work because I think it's important.
Yep.
And I wish there was a little bit more consequence to the Major League Soccer regular season for just a variety of reasons. Better performances out of player, more interest for fans. But I don't think too many of them are making that big of a deal out of it right now. But I do agree with you in that if you're a manager, I think some of them would say, yeah, look, I want the first game at home and I want to set the tempo. And I want the first crack at home in setting the tempo of this series. Now, in the case of the New York Red Bulls this year under Jesse Marsh, they're going to come out and play and attack and impose themselves on you, whether it's home or away. And they did do that in Montreal. And quite frankly, had an opportunity to go up 1-0, if not for some timely saves from Evan Bush. So it's all how you want to skin the cat, I guess.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is the travel. I think if you win the knockout round and you're Seattle or L.A., you get to sit at home. And then the team that's done better than you all season has to jump on a plane and get one less day of preparation and has to deal with the hotel and all that. And too much can go wrong in that first leg. Whereas in the second leg, I don't know. I mean, it's all one-by-one basis. But I just think it rewards the knockout round winner, the fact they get to stay home. And
Well, and look, you're perfect evidence of that is you know, FC Dallas going to Seattle and giving up three goals. You know, most are going to say this is for them to climb back in this series. It's going to be very, very difficult. And okay, if FC Dallas had the first game at home, you know, and they set the tempo in front of their own fans, Seattle's got to fly to them. It could be different.
All right. So Champions League going on today and yesterday. Yesterday, some unbelievable results. The Manchester City, Barcelona, probably the biggest among them. Manchester City. Pep Guardiola afterwards said we beat the best team in the world. He said it was a bigger game for them. Any thoughts on yesterday's Champions League results?
Yeah, well, he turned it around, right? That's Pep Guardiola. Just when you think you know he's down and everybody, oh, he can't, you know, it's tougher for him in the Premier League, and now he pulls off this Champions League result and reverses what I think was a 4-0 result, Barcelona over them. Just to remind you what a magnificent manager he is. But, you know, on the other hand, who knows Barcelona as well as Guardiola? So I think it's remarkable. I don't think there's any question that he, as a manager, sort of relishes these chances to prove everybody wrong, right?
Yeah.
So he kind of returns the favor, and they do it in big style. I think he's clearly made the fulcrum and the focal point of the team, Kevin De Bruyne, which obviously Jose Mourinho wasn't able to do that with him at Chelsea, albeit he was a little bit younger. But De Bruyne is just absolutely thriving under Pep Guardiola. And, you know, that's on a team with names like Sergio Aguero and Vincent Kompany and all these other big stars. So he's just having a magnificent year, and he's a fun guy to watch. So it's drama. It's drama at its best, and I love Guardiola, and I love seeing him up against his former team, and I love seeing him navigating the Premier League.
Yeah, it was unbelievable to me watching the game today. You know, Busquets is sort of the unsung hero for Barcelona and for Spain when they won their trophies. If you ask the Barcelona player, so many say he's the most underrated. But today, against De Bruyne in the second half, every single chance that I saw was De Bruyne 2 yards behind, or Busquets 2 yards behind De Bruyne, who was just running Barcelona ragged through the middle of the field.
Yeah, he's explosive. He's got that something over a couple of yards, which all the great players have. And of course, he's got a skill set that's, it's like a a great Wusthof knife. It's pretty darn sharp, right?
Absolutely. The other part of it is Ilkay Gundogan, who I didn't really know of until this year, but it's another part of Pep Guardiola's genius is that he travels to all these leagues, coaches in them, and when he coached at Bayern Munich, he got to see Borussia Dortmund, $20 million transfer fee, £20 million, first signing under Pep, and then all of a sudden he's scoring goals, big-time player, a guy that I'm sure Pep saw quite a bit when he was at Bayern Munich playing against Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the thing I like about him. He takes jobs in differing leagues. He adapts his soccer to these leagues. I mean, look, he's a direct family tree link to Rinus Michels and Johan Cruyff. You know, two guys that entirely changed the game. He'll always talk about those guys. So the belief that he has in the way they play and how they're going to play and the stick-to-itiveness to that is pretty interesting. And, of course, it's even interesting when you see him modify that a little bit based on the type of league he's playing in, the challenges that are imposed, and everything else. I never thought he was going to have a problem in the Premier League. I think we've seen that he's the type of guy that's a student. He's the type of guy that studies things, and he's the type of guy that isn't afraid to take risks, and I applaud that. I mean, it's, you know, and it's maybe not in the same vein, but I remember having an interview with DeMarcus Beasley of the Dynamo, and this always sticks out to me. He said, you know, I asked him about playing in Mexico, and he said, I wanted to play in Mexico because of the soccer culture down there, the fact that the technical side of the game was emphasized. And I said to myself, wow, number one, how wonderful is it that you have those options based on how good of a player you've become? And number two, then you look at his career, and he's played in varying places, and you got to think it's incredibly interesting and incredibly challenging, and what I would call is an amazing opportunity for somebody to play in different leagues that are played in differing ways and culturally might be very different and style-wise are different. So that's the beautiful thing about, you know, the global nature of soccer. It's played differently in different leagues and suits some players better than others, but there's always those risk takers. Yeah, Jurgen Klinsmann was a risk taker back in his day when he was a player, going to play in England with Spurs. So he played at Monaco and France too. He took some differing risks as well. So I find that interesting when a manager does that and players do that.
All right, Glenn, have another segment with you, but before we go to break, why don't you talk about some sponsors, and we'll come back with plenty of Dynamo talk, Wilmer Cabrera, Liga MX, and more.
Yeah, let's bang a few out here and pay a few bills, and again, we thank all our great sponsors here. Moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-0383. It doesn't matter what type of accident you have. When you have them, you need a lawyer. Whether it's car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, you might work in a refinery, the Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you that they'll treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-HURT, 713-588-HURT. The Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24-7, DaspitLaw.com. And a quick word here for Bud Light. I speak as the host of Soccer Matters, and today I speak on behalf of my favorite political party, the Bud Light Party. People say the country is divided. We disagree on everything, but that's not true. We agree on a lot. Puppy videos. Everybody loves puppy videos. Three-day weekends, free parking, queso, and beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light Party and myself on Tuesday nights for the best in soccer talk. And we remind you, the NCAA Men's College Cup, December 9th and 11th here in Houston. Get your tickets at NCAA.com.
All right, thank you, Glenn. Plenty more to come with Glenn Davis. After the break, we'll talk about Wilmer Cabrera, his appointment as the next Dynamo head coach, what the Dynamo need to prioritize this offseason, MLS awards, and more. Stay with us. Soccer Matters coming back with Glenn Davis as Matt Peterson filling in right after this.
ESPN 97.5.
5.